Steve, did you have something you want to add to that?
No, I was just thinking that I think the reference in Isaiah chapter 11 helps to explain the idea of the seven spirits of God. It says in Isaiah 11, it's the Spirit of the Lord. And you might say, if we make the link with seven, it's the Spirit of the Lord. And now considering the lampstand as the Holy Spirit, as opposed to Christ, as Tim mentioned earlier, there's these different ways to look at it. That's maybe the center. And then there's these pairs, right? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, that are connected with that main shaft. It's really one Spirit, but there are these different aspects of his work. And it's this Spirit who, in the context of Isaiah chapter 11, is resting on the branch, this messianic name for the Lord Jesus, the branch, mm-hmm. which, by the way, just since I mentioned it, this one is for free, where it talks about he shall be called a Nazarene in Matthew, I think it is. That really is a good way to understand that reference, because there's actually no reference in the prophets where it says he will be called a Nazarene. It's not the same word as a Nazarite.
Right.
We sometimes say that the Lord was a true Nazarite, and we can say that that's true. But when it says he'll be called a Nazarene, it doesn't mean the Nazariteship character of Christ. It means that he'll be connected with this word Nazarene. And so living in Nazareth, he became called a Nazarene, and the word Nazarene is very likely related to this word branch. It's a messianic name for Christ. And so the Spirit of the Lord, the sevenfold character of the Spirit, rests upon Christ. And so we see him in Isaiah 11 having that Spirit prophetically promised that it's going to rest upon him, the context especially of his millennial kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 5, he has these seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God.
Okay, I'd like to move on to something else. We made reference earlier to the thought that, let me just throw it out. What does the light signify? I'll ask it as a question. We made reference to it earlier, but what does the light signify? God is? Hello? Light, right? God is light. So what does that mean? What's so significant about God is light? What would we parallel God is light with? Truth? Okay. Anything else?
Goodness.
What?
Goodness.
Goodness? Okay. God is light, and in whom there is no darkness. Any thoughts?
No evil in him.
Okay, good. So, in other words, God is
holy.
Thank you. And so when we see this light shining forth, it's really exemplifying the fact that God is holy. And this is a very important point for us, because I think quite often we lose sight of the holiness of God. And we are often occupied with the love of God, which is wonderful. But the same book that tells us God is love tells us that God is light first.
What book is that?
I don't know. What book is it?
What book is that?
What is it? 1 John. Thank you. I knew. I just was testing. 1 John 1, right, tells us that God is light. And 1 John 4 tells us that God is love. It's important, because oftentimes we say, well, if God is love, how come, you know, and all this other stuff. And the answer is God is holy. And so we need to come back to this fact that God is holy. And the Holy Spirit points us to the person of Christ, who we've already stated in previous studies is holy. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. He did no sin. And just to add one more, Hebrews says he was without sin. So his complete perfection. And he was holy. And so then we come into this thought that be ye holy, for I am holy. All right, and that connects then, that springs us into, and just before we get there, that springs us into the thought that we are light in this world as well. But before we go down that path, I think it's important for us to be reminded in John 8, verse 12, and in John 9, that the Lord Jesus said when he was in this world, I am the light of the world. I am the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. I am that which is shining forth in this world so that you might be connected to God in a relationship with God. I am the light of the world.
In this connection, I have a related question. Who was the lampstand for? Like, who benefited from the light of the lampstand? It's probably obvious. It's a simple answer. You could just say it.
The priest.
The priest, right? So what's the point of that? What does that suggest to us? Now you need a longer comment, so somebody. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Take that mic there and share your thought with us.
I just know that priests are a picture of Christians, and Aaron is a picture of Christ. So I guess the light is we don't go in there, but we are to reflect him. And
so. Yeah, good. Something else in that same line? Anybody add up to that?
If I can make a quick suggestion, perhaps the thought that obviously when the priests were in the holy place, when they were offering, when they were burning incense there, when they were working in the holy place, they were obviously surrounded by this light. This light illuminated what they were doing. And if the priests speak of us, they're a picture of Christians. They're surrounded by the light. This holiness. Like this picture of the holiness of God. And so I think in the same way that we as Christians, when we are occupied with the things of Christ, he actually surrounds us with his glory, and that becomes like a manifold blessing that just keeps going. And that when we are in that close proximity to him, that he illuminates the things around us. And we also spoke of how it's a pure and holy light that purges darkness. We said there's no darkness in the holy place. When we are working for him, we are in a place of light. You know, we are that bright light shining for him, even though it may be dark outside and around us. In that place where we are in close communion with him, there is a bright, pure light shining that where we can find our strength and our enjoyment. So, and I think also that if I can put in the sevenfold aspect of the light, where we talked about the seven spirits of God, mm-hmm. or the sevenfold spirit of God, that light carries that characteristic, those seven characteristics. So we're surrounded by his might and his power and his thought, you know, all those aspects add to the communion that we can, you know, the that fellowship we can experience in his presence.
Yeah.